Thank you, Brother Forrest. I was just trying to think of how long I really had known Brother Forrest. It's been a long time. I'll tell you what, I've known him since he used to come to my house and sleep on Mickey Mouse sheets.
I'll forget that.
And I just had to bring it back up, didn't I? Amen. Used to come and sleep on a pallet on the floor on Mickey Mouse sheets. It's a long time ago, bro. Oh, I'm enjoying being here today. And I was looking back there at my elder. So good to see him in church today. Yes, my. Amen. Hallelujah. That good man and my grandpa stomped around this country together and did such a great work for God all those years ahead of us.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They made our way a little easier.
That's right.
Amen. They prepared a path.
Yes.
And I love my elder today, and I'm so sorry he's been weak in his body, but I'm glad to see him in church.
Oh, yeah.
One more time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And many of you I have known for a long, long time. And let me move on before I just get so tired I can't stand here. Get a thing about how old I feel. Amen. So happy today to come and help celebrate this occasion, this anniversary time, and to join with you in Pastor Appreciation Day. Pastor Bass and Sister Bass certainly are such dear, dear friends to us personally and also in the work of God. I do remember many years ago, right along here at this altar somewhere, in a prayer meeting we were having one day, Little Bass and I made a covenant together, and it's still there, and I appreciate it so much.
Yes.
Your pastor has been strength for me many, many times through life's good times and difficulties as well. And my, it's an honor today to stand in his pulpit. So I know as well as you know that he is a great preacher of the gospel. And I'm not here today because you don't have a good preacher to preach to you. I'm here today to just help honor and celebrate with you. Amen. And I appreciate a church that recognizes the gift that God gives them. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us there's a fivefold ministry that's given as gifts to the church. What greater gift than that office of the pastor, that shepherd that is right there to help us with our immediate and our ongoing travel through life.
Yes.
Amen. I want to make it home.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I appreciate all the help I can get to make it there.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy today to see this congregation recognizing that and taking time to publicly recognize it, that God certainly has given you a gift. And I know Pastor Bass pretty good. I've seen him when his hair's down. More ways than one. And, you know, I appreciate his integrity. Amen. There's a ring to that word, and it needs to be applied to this good man of God and his wife today. They are people of integrity.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I would say this if I was here for any other occasion. They just are good folks, and they're faithful people.
That's right.
And they love God, and they have a zeal for God. And you know what? You can trust them.
Amen.
You can trust them.
Right.
You know, I met a few people along the way of life that if there's not too big a crowd around, they're sociable and they'll talk to you. And then I've seen those same people with their buddies or with a different crowd of folks, and they didn't know your name. They didn't know who you were. Amen. You ever run into anybody like that?
Yeah.
I tell you, I don't get much help from folks like that.
Yeah.
But people that are the same when sun's shining or if it's raining or if it's midnight or if it's noon. It doesn't matter who the crowd's with. Don't you appreciate those folks? They're just good, solid people. And they know who you are even then. Amen.
All right.
And I appreciate your pastor and Sister Bass being like that. It's been said a lot of times, I know that you've heard this, but it's been said that if you have two or three good friends in life, consider yourself blessed. We have a lot of acquaintances, but how many friends do we really have that you just know? You can pick up the phone, and if you feel like crying, you can cry, and they're not going to make fun of you.
Right.
Or if you're rejoicing, they'll rejoice with you.
Yeah.
Amen. Aren't friends like that precious?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Well, you need to understand, you've got a friend,
right?
Just like that, and your pastor and his wife, and I feel the same way toward them. And my wife and I. Love these good folks and appreciate the work of God that's going on right here in Ocala, Florida. Hallelujah. Been coming here a long time. Amen. It's talking about the Elder Bass knew about me before I got here. So I've been coming to Ocala for a long, long time. I'm not going to tell you how long, but I started coming when I didn't have gray hair. In fact, I remember over around the old church over there. How many of y'all know where the old church is over there?
Yeah.
Used to be a pretty good sandlot roundabout over there. And I remember getting out with the drag lines and the dump trucks and hauling dirt and playing construction with your pastor over there in that sand pile.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are thinking, well, they sure messed up getting some old fella up there that just wander around, reminisce for another 2 hours before he starts preaching. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to do that, though. I am going to go to the Word of the Lord.
All right.
Again, it is an honor to be asked to come and to preach here anytime. And even more so on a special anniversary day like today. Amen. Would you stand? I sort of stage whispered over here to your pastor a while ago when he got that envelope. I said, now you can take me on vacation.
Yeah. Let's go.
So, I don't know how far that'll go, but amen. Well, praise God. Are we ready to shift into a little different mode here?
All right, come on.
And I hope that you will help me today to go to the Word of God and glean from these things what the Lord would have us to understand. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
I will try to redeem the time, and yet I do feel like preaching today. So, well, 4 or 5. 4 or 5 with me. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Yes. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
All right.
I want to preach about one of my favorite subjects today. I want to talk to you about that atonement. Let's thank God for his word and ask him to help us. Father, we do love you today. We thank you so much, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that's upon us, that's hovering over this congregation. Lord God, we know except you quicken these mortal bodies, we cannot accomplish the will of God. But Lord, our trust is in you. Oh God, that your hand will anoint us. Lord, and the yoke will be destroyed today. Oh God, Jesus' name, praise God. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. Thank God for the atonement by the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. We have received atonement through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He said that God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that Jesus died for us.
Yes.
Not that Jesus gave his life for a good man or a good woman, but he gave his life for sinners.
Right.
And he said that if being reconciled, while we were enemies, if we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I'm glad today to know that not only was there a death, but it's important to know there was a resurrection. That is the thing that separates Christianity from all of the man-made religions of all this world. And I want you to consider with me today that our salvation, the gospel of salvation, follows very closely the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's so important to know that we're not only reconciled to God by his death, but we are saved by his life.
Yes.
Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and probably about verse 14 that it is important that he died, but it's also important that he rose again. And I want to just go there for a minute. If Christ be not risen, think about this. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain.
Right.
Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Do you notice with me, he did not say that if Christ did not die, but he said if he's not raised. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. But the blood of Jesus Christ has no efficacy to deal with our sins if there was not a resurrection.
That's right.
If Jesus did not rise from the grave, the blood was meaningless. It was because there was a resurrection that the blood was empowered to deal with our sins. Hello? If He's not risen, our faith is vain and we're still in our sins. The blood or the death alone was not enough.
Amen.
And I want to tell you today that if our salvation, and it does, if it traces the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I won't take time to deal with that and go through the scriptures, although it's very, very clear that it's there. If that is the case, then repentance alone is not enough.
Amen.
If baptism even is received, even according to the scripture, in the name of Jesus Christ, repentance and baptism are not enough. Even though much of the world of so-called Christianity in America today stop there. But if we stop there, tracing Jesus, then our faith is vain and we're still in our sins. But as Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, so also should we walk in the newness of life. And so when the Holy Ghost comes and fills this temple, it is tracing that resurrection morning when a stone was rolled away and an empty tomb was left behind and a dead body got up and walked out of that tomb alive forevermore. Praise God for the atonement. Thank God for blood. But it took more than blood. Thank God for burial. Amen. But it took more than a tomb. There had to be a resurrection. Well, praise God. And thank God for my repentance. The Lord brought me to an altar one day and I repented of my sins. And thank God. And oh, what a load I felt lift off my shoulders when I asked God to forgive me. And oh, thank God for that glorious day when a preacher took me and carried me down to the creek and baptized me in that cold water in the name of Jesus Christ. But oh, if I stop there, my faith is vain and I'm still in my sins. But He didn't stop there. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord didn't stop with me, but He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That spirit and that power of resurrection. Oh, what a sad thing it would be if that's as far as we could go, was to the tomb. Thomas Jefferson was perhaps a great statesman, but Thomas Jefferson had a problem with the supernatural events that were written about in the scripture in the New Testament. And Thomas Jefferson edited the Gospels and wrote himself a version of the Bible. And he confined himself solely to including the moral teachings of Jesus. And so the closing words of Thomas Jefferson's Bible are these, and this is a quote: "There laid they Jesus and rolled a great stone at the mouth of the sepulchre and departed." Thank God that's not the way the story ends. Thank God I'm not just miserable at an altar of repentance over and over and over. The story didn't end there. I'm sorry, Mr. Jefferson. That's not where it stops.
We're rejoicing today. Hallelujah. Because that's not where the story ends. But oh, hallelujah. Jesus went to the grave. And he ripped the door off its hinges. And where death used to be a prison, it became a passage for every child of God. Death is not a prison to the saint of God. But death becomes a passage from this life to the next. From this world to the next. From mortal to immortality. From corruption to incorruption. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen. Talking about the atonement. Thank God for that atonement. Let me go back over here and finish where I was reading in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, if Christ, verse 17, be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So the dead in Christ, if Jesus didn't rise, there's no hope for them. Hallelujah. Everybody say hope. Amen. The atonement gives us hope. Hope. And Paul said, we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. When we stand beside the grave of a departed saint, we don't sorrow as others who have no hope, because there was a resurrection one day and he became the first fruit. He set in motion a resurrection order. Do y'all feel the Holy Ghost like I do right now? My goodness, there's an anointing in this house today. Amen. And the Lord wants to talk to us about this morning. He said, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's what I'm talking about. If Jesus didn't rise, then we're still down here at the altar of repentance. And we're still over here trying to get baptized. And Jesus is still in the tomb. And there's no hope. And if in this life only, if all this is a religious system, if all this is a religious order, if there's no hope of eternal life to this just let, then let's turn the lights out and let's go fishing this afternoon. You hear me?
Come on. All right.
Well, if that's all there is, if this is just a religious order, then let's go shopping today. Let's go do something else. But that's not all there is. He said we would be of all men most miserable because there was something in your bosom and in your heart that drew you. Hallelujah. That caused you to seek this out. And if this wasn't true, you of all people would be most miserable.
Right.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. Now is Christ risen. Well, he is risen today. Praise God. Thank God for atonement. Let me take just a moment to discern a difference between pardon and atonement. Pardon is a wonderful thing. And yet, when we consider pardon, a pardon is what the governor might give to a convicted felon when his case is reviewed. For whatever reason, he might decide to make a judgment decision and give him a pardon. If he is in for life in prison, he would be released and he would be allowed to go back and assimilated back into society. If he was on death row, he would be brought off a death row and he would not have to go to that death chamber because the governor signed his pardon. And yet, there would always be the record. This man was a criminal. this man was convicted. This man was sentenced. And because of the governor's intervention, he got a pardon. He was simply released from the penalty of his sin against society. But the record was always there. You see, because the difference in a pardon and an atonement was this, that when Jesus made atonement for us, he did not just sign the decree that said, I don't have to fulfill the penalty for my sin. He actually went down there in my place. You see, when the governor signs the pardon, he doesn't go over there and say, now lock me up in his place. He doesn't say, put me on death row in his place. Amen. But Jesus did. The penalty of sin is death. And Jesus died that death for us. Praise God. Can I preach a little while longer here? I hope you're not ready to go yet, because we're not there. Amen. I thank God for atonement. You see, because when the price is paid, it clears the record. Hallelujah. And so I received so much more than a pardon this afternoon. I have received atonement. Amen.
Hallelujah.
What's that old hymn? I'm trying to think of it. Is it my record? The old account was settled long ago, was that? And when he starts looking at that record, it's clear today. Oh, hallelujah. If we had time, I'd just stop and have us sing a couple of verses of it. Well, the old account was large, and it was growing every day. Well, praise God. My record's clear today. He took a loser. Amen. He took my robe of my rags of self-righteousness. You see, the word atonement in the Old Testament, it means covering. The word atonement is the same that's translated atonement is the same word that's translated there when Noah was pitching the ark within and without. It was a covering. But when you get to the New Testament, in fact, you'll find out the word atonement's only found one time in the New Testament in the King James Version. And it literally means an exchange. An exchange. Well, amen. He took our place. There was an exchange. I was set free and he was bound. They turned me loose and he was beaten. Hallelujah. And he also exchanged my rags of self-righteousness for that robe of pure and white holiness and righteousness of himself. The Bible says as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Many versions say have clothed themselves with Christ. Hallelujah. When you go back there, all the way back to Adam, you'll find in that garden there the Lord created Adam in his likeness and in his image. And when God would walk with him in the cool of the day and he would look at Adam, he would see his own righteousness and he would see his own holiness and he would see his own purity. And then Adam failed and he was cast out of the garden and he was bound by sin. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us through the gospel of Jesus Christ that robe and those rags of self-righteousness that Adam put on the human race, God gives us an exchange for that. And we put on the robes of his righteousness. And now when God looks at you, my brother, he doesn't see a sinner. He doesn't see a loser. He sees himself. He sees his own righteousness, his own purity, his own holiness. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Well, come on, let's have a little church for a while. Is it all right? Amen. If you can't get happy about the atonement, you better make another trip back around the altar and let the Lord stir you up a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. That atonement has been made by Jesus Christ. I want to call this today, if you would like a title, I want to call this the safe side of atonement. The Bible said that Jesus died for the whole world. Jesus went to the cross for every man, every woman, every young person that would ever come into this world. And not only did the blood of Jesus go forward, it went backward. Because all of those blood sacrifices of animals, they were just temporary. And the blood of Jesus went back and it went forward. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today that there is much of the world that has not taken advantage of the atonement. The atonement is there. It's not a question of whether it's been made or not. Let me ask the question that Paul asked. He says in Romans 3:3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That's a rhetorical question. There's no need to even have to answer. We know it doesn't matter where they believe or where they don't believe. The atonement's been made. It's there. The faith of God has an effect. Hallelujah. Amen. The question is which side you're standing on. Which side of the atonement are you on today? Amen. Are you on the safe side? Let me illustrate. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were under the cloud and they passed through the sea. And this is how he types it. Of course, Moses is one of the greatest types of Jesus Christ, the deliverer that there ever was in the Old Testament. And so he said they were under the cloud and they all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Amen. Let me tell you something. There was a process to getting out of Egypt. It started with the shedding of the blood of a lamb and putting it on the doorpost, having it applied to the lintel. There had to be the shedding of blood. And then he said there was the baptism of the sea. There's got to be some water here. And then there's the baptism of the cloud, that semblance of God's Spirit, cloud by day, shading them in the heat of the wilderness, and by fire, warming them in the coldness of that wilderness at night. And when the cloud moved, they moved. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped. And so he said they were all under the cloud, and they were all in the sea, and they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. If you're going to get out of Egypt, Moses, you got to have some blood, and you got to have some water, and you got to have the Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 tells us there's three that agree together. Amen. It's that blood, and it's that water, and it's that Spirit that makes the atonement. Hallelujah. It took blood, and it took water, and it took Spirit to get out of Egypt. And it still takes blood, and it still takes water, and it still takes Spirit to get out of Egypt today. Oh, hallelujah. They came out of Egypt through the sea and the cloud. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit. Of water and of the Spirit. Just one Spirit. Amen. It can be in a pond. It could be in a baptistry. It can be in a river when you get baptized in water. But there's just one Spirit. It says of water and the Spirit. Hello? Amen. If you're going to get out of Egypt, he said, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Amen. You can't come into this promised land. Oh, there's so many directions I want to go today. I know I have time. I'm going to try my best to focus here for these next few minutes. The Bible says that they came out of Egypt. That night, they put the blood on the doorpost and an angel of death passed over. And old Pharaoh's house was even touched. And there was a wailing and a weeping and a cry that went up in all of Egypt like never had been made before. And Pharaoh's old heart was broken down one more time, and he thrust them out of Egypt, and they came out. God said, with a high hand, he brought them out. And they went out into the wilderness, and they started the journey. And the Bible said, in the process of a short time, Pharaoh's heart was hardened again, and he mounted his army, and he came after Moses and the children of Israel. And they found themselves now coming to the Red Sea, and they knew that Pharaoh was behind them. Pharaoh was coming along, and the chariots were rattling, and the accoutrements of war were making their sounds, and they were getting nervous, and they were beginning to murmur and wonder what was going to happen to them. And then God said, stretch out that rod, Moses, and he did. And God began to pile the water up and began to divide the water, and it began to blow a wind across that seabed until it was a dry seabed. And then he said, all right, cross. And while they were crossing that cloud, it picked up and it put itself right between God's people and Pharaoh's army. Well, on Pharaoh's side, it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, as we say. But on the other side, it was a pillar of fire, and it was lighting the way, and they were crossing in daylight. Amen. And oh, God allowed them time, and they crossed, and they crossed, and they crossed. And finally, they got to the other side, and when they did, God raised up the darkness, and he let Pharaoh peek under it. And Pharaoh said, there they go. And he started after them again. And he made his way down into the seabed. And while he got his army down in the seabed, God started taking the chariot wheels off. Amen. Can you imagine the Israelites standing on the other side with bated breath? Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? They look like they're coming on through. But wait a minute. There's confusion down there now. What's going on? Chariot wheels are rolling this way and going that way, and horses are screaming, and men are yelling. There's mass confusion. What's going on? And all of a sudden, walls of water collapse with a mighty roar and stunned silence. Israel stands. You think it wouldn't affect you to see all of that? You feel like you're in peril one moment, and the next moment the waters collapse. A roaring sound, and then silence, because no more army is there. No more chariots are rolling. No more horses are screaming. God has destroyed Pharaoh's army.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
And they stood there in stunned silence and maybe even disbelief.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a slow realization began coming to their mind.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah.
Pharaoh's army is destroyed. We're free.
Hallelujah.
We're standing on the safe side of this old Red Sea. As long as they were on Egypt's side, Pharaoh was coming after them to drag them back into slavery. But once they got on the safe side, never, ever again would Pharaoh be able to come and take them unwilling back into bondage, back into slavery. Hello? And when you come by blood and water and spirit, let me tell you that hell can never come back and drag you out of the church against your will. Hell cannot pluck you out of his hand. Amen. Because we're standing on the safe side of atonement.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, hallelujah.
think we ought to worship the Lord here for a few minutes. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Amen. Please be seated. I'm talking about the safe side of atonement. It's not enough that atonement's been made. But the important question today is what side you're standing on. Are you on the Egypt side? Then you're in danger. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Listen carefully to verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You were the servants of sin. I were a servant of sin, but I are not a servant of sin now. Is that good old Alabama talk? Hallelujah. I was a servant of sin. God be thanked. I'm thanking God here on a Sunday afternoon. I was a servant of sin. Amen. You know what that means? I'm not now. Well, praise God. Amen. God be thanked. I wonder if anybody can thank God here this afternoon. I was a servant. I was a slave. I was under the power of sin. But God be thanked. Hallelujah. How did I... have a change? God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Hallelujah. Oh, when I heard about death and burial and resurrection, when I heard about repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I was no longer a slave. When I crossed over, hallelujah. When I got to the other side, Pharaoh can't get me anymore. As long as I'm on the Egypt side, I'm in trouble. As long as I'm on the Egypt side, I'm in danger. As long as I'm on the Egypt side,
yeah, come on now, hallelujah.
All right.
But when I cross over,
praise God, hallelujah.
He can't drag me out of this church.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Amen. Amen. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Put verse 18 up there. Y'all been so well. Amen. When you obey from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Being then made free from sin. Born again of water and spirit. Amen. Baptized by one spirit into one body. Praise God. And I'm standing over on the safe side. I'm free from sin. I'm free from bondage. I'm free from slavery. I'm free from the claim hell had on me. Hallelujah. He cannot come and drag me out of this church. Well, thank you, Jesus. I need a devil. I don't need a passive devil either. I need a persistent devil. Is there a persistent devil here?
Yeah,
Who's going to volunteer? Be a devil for me. Hmm? Hello? I need one of these good, strong men. Be a devil for me. Okay.
Good choice, sir.
All right. Now, I need three more. Come on. No, come on. Come on. You just will come on up here. Yeah. Come over here, devil. All right, you three fellas line up here facing me, okay? Right across here. Now, join our arm to arm. Join arm to arm. Okay. Amen. Devil. Blood, water, spirit. Hallelujah. Come here, devil. Amen. Said you were the servants of sin. You remember that part of your life when you lived it in sin? And there were times when you would try to be a better person. I need a persistent devil now. I don't need a passive devil. You act like the real devil here for a few minutes. Sort of. You remember when you wanted to do better? And you would do good? And Paul said, but evil's present with me? Do you remember when you hated yourself for the sins in your life? And you said, I'm not going back to that. But your buddies would ride up in the yard on the motorcycles and they'd say, come on, go with us. You remember that? You know why? Because every time I just try to get... I don't want to be like I am. But I'm a servant to sin. I'm a slave to Pharaoh. As long as I'm on this side, I'm in trouble. As long as... It's not a question about whether there's been an atonement. There's blood and there's water and there's spirit. It's there.
Right.
Oh, I don't want to be like I am. I want to be different. But let me try this self-help program. See, no, the devil still got me. Just, if I could just make a difference in my life. Oh, maybe the government can help me a little bit here. I don't know, maybe somehow, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to be different this year. I'm not going to be like I used to be, but I've got a persistent devil. He's got a hold of me because I've yielded myself a servant to sin. And here I am. I'm bound. I'm slave. I'm making bricks for Pharaoh. Let me tell you something. I've got to break free from this. If I don't, I'll spend the rest of my life. I'll pull and I'll build what Pharaoh says build. And I will eat what Pharaoh says I can eat. And I will live where Pharaoh says I can live. And if I don't break free, I'm going to raise my children slaves to Pharaoh. And my children are going to work where Pharaoh says work. And my children are going to eat what Pharaoh says eat. Oh my God, I'm preaching to you right now. We've got to get on the safe side of atonement. As long as I'm over here, everything in my world is affected. As long as I'm over here, I can't do the things that I would. As long as I'm over here, this devil is pulling and tugging on me. And I can't be what I want to be, even though I want to be different. It just seemed like I fall right back into it because there's a devil holding on to me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One day, there was a man in the tombs. They called him Legion. He had so many devils. Devils said, we're Legion. He looked from the tombs. They tried to bind him with chains. He tore his flesh and he lived in the tombs and he cried and wailed at night. Society's answer was put chains on him and bind him. Let me tell you something, folks. Humanity doesn't have the answer. Flesh can't get you out of this. But one day, He squinted his eyes. He looked. He saw a man get out of his boat. And something stirred in this man. He looked hideous, no doubt. Naked. Hurt. Wretched. But he looked. Jesus got out of the boat. And he started moving. And let me tell you something. God will never force you to serve Him. He could, but He won't. But He's not going to let the devil be able to stop you either. The devil can do a lot of things. When I'm trying to read how to be a better person over here, and I'm trying to get help over here, he's going, but when I focus on Jesus, and I decide I'm going there, I don't like living on this side of atonement, I'm going over the other side. That's one place you can't stop me from going, devil. You can rule my life in every other way, but when I decide I'm going there, when I decide I want blood and water and spirit in my life, you can't stop me. You've got to leave me. You've got to stand over here now. And I'm passing by the atonement. I'm leaving the Egypt side. I'm leaving the danger side. I'm over here now. And oh, being then made free from sin. Oh, I give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I lived under the rule. I lived under the bondage of hell. I lived according to what the enemy dictated in my life. But oh, I'm standing over here now. And realization has come. It's time to pick up a tambourine. The horse and the rider hath they cast into the sea. Pharaoh's army has been destroyed and his power is broken. Hey devil, you can try. You can try to get by these guys right here. But you can't come over here. You can't make it over here. Hey devil, I'm on the same side of atonement. Come on. Hey, you can't get me over here. Hallelujah. Well, amen. I'm on the safe side. Well, praise God. I'm on the safe side of atonement. Well, hallelujah. Well, amen. Come here, Brother Forrest. Come here. Come over here. Hallelujah. Amen. How many years you had the Holy Ghost?
About 40.
40 years standing over here on the safe side. You know what? He's still here. You know why? Because the devil, he's over there. We're on the safe side of a term. He can't come and get me. His power was broken. Amen. When I repented and I got baptized in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost came down, he had to stop right there. He had to stop. Amen. He can't come over here. Bro, first, he hadn't been able to drag you out in 40 years. We have an anniversary service today. You know what? We're thinking about victories of the past, but we're also thanking God, amen, for the assurance of the future today. Hallelujah. Well, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Come here, Brother Kastner. Hallelujah. Oh, how long you had the Holy Ghost?
20 years.
20 years ago, God drew a line and said, right there, devil, you can't come any further past that. You can't get him. You can't drag him out. Woo! Hallelujah.
Preach.
Now, you know I could go over there. All right. And if I did, he would be able to have power over me. You can walk out of the church, but he can't drag you out.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well,
all right.
Hallelujah. Come here, Sister Bass. Come here. Hallelujah. Well, how many years I had the Holy Ghost? 46 years ago, the devil had to stop right here. You know what I'm telling you? Come here, brother. How many years you had the Holy Ghost?
15.
15 years. Hallelujah. 15 years ago, God drew a line and said, no more devil. He's on the safe side now. The question is just which side are you on?
Come on now. Hallelujah.
Woo, hallelujah. Come here, Sister Patty. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. How many years you had the Holy Ghost?
Lord have mercy.
40-something years. 40-something years ago. God drew a line. Said, you can't come over here, devil. Come here, sister. How long you had the Holy Ghost?
Hallelujah.
17 years.
17 years ago. Hallelujah. Woo! There's a congregation building over here on the safe side.
Come on now. Hallelujah.
Oh, we've been living in a time the Bible prophesied there'd be a falling away.
Yeah.
You might even know somebody personally that backslid in the last year or two.
Come on now.
Let me tell you something. Don't live in fear, because that devil, he can't come across here and drag you out. You don't think I'm going to be the next prey. You can't come get me, devil. I don't care who went back to your side. You can't come get me. I'm on the safe side of atonement. Come here, brother. Hallelujah. How many years?
October will be 7 years.
7 years. He's been dancing around this front up here. God be thanked. Servant of sin. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on, do a little what you were doing a while ago.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know what he's doing? He's saying, I'm on the safe side. I'm on the safe side. I'm on the safe side. Pharaoh can't come.
Hallelujah.
The devil's hold is lost. Hell's claim is gone. It's void.
Ah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Anybody else on the safe side?
Hallelujah.
Sister Walker, where you are?
Hallelujah.
Sister Walker. Somebody said Sister Walker. Come here. Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many years, sister?
50-something.
Over 50 years.
Woo!
50 years ago, the Lord drew a line. Blood, water, and spirit. Sister Swilly.
My.
Oh, come on.
Lord,
where you at?
Hallelujah.
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 All right, sister. Amen. Whoa, hallelujah. The safe side. God be thanked. You know why these folks are here after 7, 15, 40, 50 years? Because the devil had to stop there.
Woo!
Folks that haven't got this yet, I'm afraid you're probably not going to get it before I finish. But there's some folks, I think you kind of caught on to what I'm preaching here this afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to be afraid. Oh, come on. Come on. Hey, all you folks over here. Come here, all you folks over here. Come on. Hey, devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Here's somebody thanking God because he's on the safe side. How many years?
Since 1939.
She's been on the safe side. She's back there thanking God. You know why? Because the devil can't take you out of this church.
Come on.
Thank God for the atonement. You need to get on the safe side if you're not over here.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How long you had the Holy Ghost?
8 years.
8 years. 8 years ago. Devil, you had to stop right there.
Yeah.
Come on, sister. You got the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, she got it.
Come here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How long ago?
4 months.
4 months.
4 months.
Whether it's 4 months or whether it's 60-something years. This blood never loses its power.
That's right.
Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got the Holy Ghost here?
Hallelujah.
Come here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're building a congregation over here.
My God.
9 years.
9 years.
9 years.
9 years. Come on, let's move everything over this way a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
Because we're depleting your side, devil.
Yeah.
How many years?
About half a year.
About a half a year. Come on.
8 years.
8 years.
11 years.
11 years.
8 years.
8 years.
10 years.
10.
7.
7.
5.
5.
7.
7. Woo! Hey, the kingdom is growing. You need to get on the same side with us.
All right.
20 years.
20.
20 years.
7.
7.
Woo. 20.
Come on now.
20.
20. 20. 20.
20. Hallelujah.
20.
18.
18.
32.
Woo. 32.
30.
Woo. My.
19.
Oh, the kingdom's growing.
10.
Hallelujah, devil, you can't stop it.
16.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
10.
10.
2. 2.
My,
4.
My Lord.
11.
11.
Woo!
23.
Woo!
2.
2.
48.
48.
19.
19.
Hallelujah.
4.
16.
16.
Woo! 40.
40.
God.
Look over here, folks. We're on the same side of atonement.
16.
6 months.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, you're not ashamed of it, are you?
41.
All right. 41.
15.
15.
My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
16.
Woo. 16. Well, you know what?
16.
Amen. 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 Well, I'm glad I'm on the safe side.
Hallelujah.
Of atonement.
Woo!
Brother Bass, you look like you're about to have a fit. Go ahead.
I am. Hallelujah. Well, I sing because I'm happy.
Oh, let's sing.
Oh, I sing
for the atonement.
Because I'm free.
Let's thank God.
Oh, His eye is on. Yeah.